Welcome back to this second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan. Actually, Lynette has the weekend off once again. Mark Holland filling in for Lynette one more time this week. I hope she comes back for next week. She's stuck in Europe.
I thought you were having a great time, Mark.
I got the call about this week kind of at the last minute. Is it, can you fill in? I'm stuck in Italy.
Well, Mark, you're doing a great job in my opinion and Dr. Umat's opinion.
Thank you.
Sure.
I've been enjoying it. I took over for Jerry Berg here first of the year. And we miss him. You were showing some pictures of yourself with him.
And you actually behind the scenes help with the music, and then you helped me record Beautiful New You as well.
Doing lots of stuff. Really enjoying it and enjoying. And I still have yet to sign up for my own health analysis. And I guess I get some extra perks too because I work for you guys.
I don't have to twist your arm.
Okay. Well, I'm type 2 diabetic, so I definitely have some questions.
You just fit into what I started the show with today about testosterone and diabetes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I will be looking into that. And we are taking your calls right now, 206-421-5757, 206-421-5757. You might recognize Dr. Dan Nelson is in for Dr. Mixon, who's off at a seminar in Houston.
He's at a conference in Houston learning about neuroplasticity and stem cells and what else we can do.
It was interesting when I came in this morning. I was talking to him on the phone about all the stuff he was learning. He's pretty excited.
He
knows so much about so many different things. It's amazing.
Oh my goodness, he does.
The thing is that he finds it enthusiastic, and he stimulates others. And mm-hmm. I find that his enthusiasm is contagious. Yes. You know, he'll walk into the clinics, and everybody's like, "Oh, Dr. Mixon is here!" And I just love that. I love that positivity, the excitement about what is down the road, about where we are going. It's never doom or gloom, and there's so much doom and gloom in this world today. We have to kind of separate it from reality and go, we have to celebrate the positives every single day. And he's the guy who does that, you know, whether it be he heard a good music or, you know, he had a good run or a good walk or whatever. He just celebrates that, and he helps the team, the whole team, celebrate every little good thing and then every new advance. Okay, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to help. And yes, a lot of times it's in medicine too, Dan. You deal with pain. I mean, it's frustrating because sometimes you stop and you ask yourself, did I really make a difference? Because when we went to medical school, we thought we were going to make a difference. We were going to cure everything.
Right.
And we come out and go, well, I don't know what I did here. But when I see my patients, and sometimes it's just the patients themselves and their perspective and their hopes and their desires, and you get to know them and how they've improved, you know, when you're at 65, if bone density is improving in a postmenopausal woman, I'm excited about it. But when it happens at 80, when my 80-year-olds ask me about, okay, what is new? What am I going to do? You feel like I need to do something. You cannot just say, well, you know, what am I going to do at 80? That's the mentality, right?
Right.
You have to change that.
Exactly.
You have to give as many healthy lifespan years as you possibly can. whatever you can, and you have to fight for that.
You know, one thing, I get patients that come in and say, well, I got back pain. My doctor told me you can't golf anymore. And I look at them, patient, I said, well, do you love to golf? And they said, well, yeah. I said, well, we got to get you back golfing. That's what we're going to do, you know. I mean, that's like, and that's part, again, about the health span and enjoying your life.
Right.
Let's stack the deck in your favor so that you can do that.
Absolutely. You know, with that said, next month is going to be Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Month. And we all know that it is diagnosed too late with very few options. And with the Galleri test that we have been offering to long longevity patients can do it. We've had a couple of fairs where we've invited people in the general public to come and get the Galleri fair done so that they know whether they carry any DNA changes in their blood for 50 different types of cancers. Mm-hmm. We're going to run a promotion all of next month in our clinics, November 4th in the Linwood Clinic and November 18th, both in Kirkland and Tacoma, where they can do the Galleri test for $1,100 along with a regular longevity blood panel and then spend an hour with the doctor going over their risk factors. If we can help shave off months and years from your lifespan by early diagnosis, detection, and treatment, then you need to come in and you want to do that with us. So very excited that we're able to offer it and looking forward to anybody who's interested. But please, 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 it's on a Saturday. We do need to make accommodations for staffing. Please let us know. So call early. Let our team know that you're interested. We'll give you a time slot and we will wait for you in November when we can do this test for you.
Okay, do book those.
Oh, I was just sorry to interrupt, but I was just going to interject that test's also for melanoma. Is that one of the markers or
well,
not?
Well, they're best at, they do some skin cancers. I'd have to look again for melanoma, but they are best for the GI cancers,
GIs,
for pancreatic cancers, colon cancer. Although, you know, you still want to do your screening, but they're good for esophageal cancers.
Oh, that's great.
They can pick up a lot of different cancers, so 50 different cancers in one blood test, the only test of its kind currently available.
That's amazing. We had John earlier calling about his melanoma, and the expert doctor that I was trying to think of her name, my wife texted me the name of this doctor. Her name is Kim, John, hopefully you're still listening, Kim Margolin, M-A-R-G-O-L-I-N. MD, she was up here at University of Washington. Now she's currently at St. John's Medical Center in Santa Monica, California, at their cancer center. And Dr. Margolin is a world expert on melanoma. So, John, I would encourage you to at least call there. If you can't see her directly, she or her staff could probably direct you to somebody even in this area. I'm just not – this person I know because we had a friend. This was her doctor. And
so, Dan, would you email that information to both me and Jerry as well?
Absolutely.
So that if somebody calls back later on, we can use that as a reference.
Absolutely. I will do that.
Yeah.
Okay, and to book those health analysis appointments and some of the special appointments coming up in November, the number to call is 866-86-YOUNG, 866-86-YOUNG, which is 96864. You can also book your appointment online at lmclinic.com. And there are Kirkland Clinic, a Tacoma Clinic, and a Linwood Clinic. So three locations to serve you with leading edge medicine. Got some folks on the line. Let's go next to Pat in Bremerton. Pat in Bremerton, you have a question about macular degeneration for the doctors. What's your specific question here, Pat?
Yes. Is there any treatment? Is it my sister's beginning the dry macular degeneration? Is there anything that she could do to really slow it down? She's 72.
Does she take the AREDS, the supplement over the counter?
She's taking a vitamin. I'm not sure what it's called. She just started a vitamin they put her on.
Okay, yeah, that's the one. Probably is the right one. They do talk about that, and I wish Dr. Michael Gilbert were here because he would be the ophthalmologist who would have more information about this. Sometimes he listens in, and Michael, if you're listening, we have a question about early diagnosis of macular degeneration and nutritional supplements that might help.
It's a dry. She was told it was a dry, not the wet.
Okay.
Dry
and again,
macular.
I would. dry macular degeneration? Okay, we would have to talk to Dr. Michael Gilbert about that. I think the AREDS might be what you are talking about. I know that when he has been here before, he has mentioned that you should only take it after the diagnosis. And in some cases, if there's a strong family history, you might want to take it as preventative, but it is not really for prevention. So the only thing I can think of is that same AREDS formula that I keep mentioning, but he has also, I think at one time, I'm not sure if I can remember correctly, but it's the Bausch and Lomb PerSeVision AREDS formula that he has recommended. But I would maybe wait to hear from him. If we get some information from him, we'll definitely pass it on the air. So keep listening in case he calls.
All right. And it's called the AAR. What is it?
AREDS for macular degeneration. It is a supplement, and he recommends the Bausch and Lomb, and it does reduce the rate.
Her doctor just diagnosed her of that and gave her a name of a eye vitamin, but I have to look and see if it's that one or not.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Pat.
You are very welcome. And, you know, it has
a real quick question.
Yeah, sure. It has the combination of lutein and zeaxanthin. That's a special combination to Bausch and Lomb that they created this for macular degeneration. Okay?
Okay. And a quick question for the doctor for the knee. My husband gets those injections, the one that you mentioned, acid injections all the time, and his knees, he does five at a time once a week for 5 weeks, and he's been doing it for several months, actually over a year he's continued doing it. How many can you take of those things?
HA as opposed to the corticosteroid.
The HA injections is what you're talking about, hyaluronic acid, and there's variations of those. He gets a series of five?
Well, he gets one each week for 5 weeks, and then he's off for a couple of months, and then he goes back
another five. Yeah.
It's like he's got like 20, 30, 40 injections over the last year.
Right. Yeah, I'm not familiar with it. So there are some that come with, a series of I didn't know there was
I
one.
I thought there were a series of three.
Usually it's a series of three. So, but, you know, there's at least half a dozen, maybe seven or eight of these different.
And is insurance paying for these?
Insurance
pays for it. But it's through that clinic. They advertise all the time on TV in Bellevue, I think it is. I mean, they advertise on the radio. What do they call it? And it goes in once a week, and they do the injection for 5 weeks, one each week. And then 2 or 3 months later, he goes back and gets another five.
The only problem I have with that is that that sounds a little excessive.
It does.
I mean, the problem is every time we break the skin barrier, there's a risk of bleeding, infection, nerve damage. Though, even though there's very small risk, if you're doing that five times, several times a year, that's a lot of procedural risk. Don't you think, Dr. Eman? And the HA itself is pretty benign. It's not like cortisone, but still, that's a lot of injections.
Right.
I just can't imagine. That seems like too many.
Mm-hmm.
Worked for a while. He says it worked for him, but I see him always putting cream on his knee too.
Yeah. The problem is over time, that's probably not going to work. But I think there are better options for sure.
Is there a chance that could cause swelling in the legs? Because he gets a lot of that too.
I'm not aware of that. Sometimes you can get allergic reactions from some of the HA products, but swelling in general, not sure. Might be unrelated.
Okay, Pat, we need to take a break here. We'll be back with more of Leading Edge Medicine in just a moment. And your calls at 206-421-5757. Back in just a few moments with more Leading Edge Medicine. Welcome Welcome back to Leading Edge Medicine, brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinics. We have Dr. Umat and Dr. Dan Nelson taking your calls today. And actually, we have another doctor who called in. I heard his name on the radio. Dr. Michael Gilbert is on the line now.
So grateful for Dr. Gilbert. So, Dr. Gilbert, we had a question about macular degeneration.
Good morning. I've been enjoying the program this morning. I was working out, so if I sound just a little winded, it's not just because I'm excited about talking to you.
Okay, thank you for the explanation. It's good to hear your voice. It's been a while.
Yes, ma'am. It's great to be part of the team, although I feel like I'm encroaching on pain and the joint clinics here.
Well, I think he's happy for a little break
totally
from pain.
Totally fine, Michael. Hey, Michael, when you answer the question, I have a question for you after you
super.
Answer the yes.
Great.
Thank you.
So macular degeneration, a scourge to the senior population, AREDS is the acronym. It stands for age-related eye disease, so it's age-related and certainly much more with each passing year, a decade of life. Although we've seen it in youth in 20s, 30s, 40s, it's really a disease of seniors. So we used to call it senile macular degeneration when I was in early training, but that got lost because that sounds so politically incorrect. So it's age-related eye disease. And you want to look for a 2 because there was an original AREDS that had a slightly different formula. AREDS was a very large NIH study that was repeated, and it was the 2 that had a refinement in the formula, showed a statistical decrease, significant 25-30% decrease in loss of vision in patients who were on the vitamins. And while it has some vitamins that you might get in a multivitamin like vitamin C and E, most importantly, it's the zinc and the copper that are way out of proportion of what you'd find in any supplement. I often get the question, there are 2 of these small capsules a day. I often have patients who are only taking 1. The study was done with 2 of those. They're very small. They're over the counter. They're very inexpensive. There's just no reason not to be on those. And it showed statistical difference for patients who had the clinical findings of changes in the macula itself. So if you just have family history, it's not unreasonable to take it, but there's no data to support that. It really, as much as they've looked, if you just have family history, it doesn't seem to make a difference. There you just want to fresh fruits and vegetables, protect against UV light, general care like that. So look for the AREDS 2. You're quite right, Samara. My favorite is PreserVision by Bausch & Lomb. If it says AREDS 2, it's probably fine. But the actual company that made it for the NIH study has prescription drugs. They're overseen by the FDA in a much more rigorous fashion than most over-the-counter vitamins. So I have a small preference for that preparation. A retrospective was done and published just a couple years ago that also showed that those patients who were on the AREDS formula who also took fish oil had an additional benefit in decrease of macular degeneration, prevention. So I mentioned that to my patients. They did not do any quantitative studies, so this was just a retrospective. It was a yes, no, are you taking fish oil? So we don't have good data on what any optimal dose would be, but that would be something I would add for someone who has those findings. Lastly, if you have dry or wet macular degeneration, home monitoring is critical. You can pick up early changes and then right time those treatments that can either stop the disease or even oftentimes reverse it. And that home monitoring is most easily done with something called an Amsler grid. With the internet, you can find 100 different versions of it and print it out at home. And you want to look at it, one key, you want to look at it one eye at a time. Because if you take a quick look with both eyes, you're not going to pick up any early subtleties that might be happening to one eye only. So check that Amsler grid, A-M-S-L-E-R grid. And really, it just looks like a piece of graph paper with a dot on it. So certainly you can make your own, but easy enough to print and check those subtle changes.
That's great, Michael. Thank you so much for calling in. Yeah, she also had, you know, so then from your point of view, wet versus dry doesn't really matter, right? They should all take the supplement.
Oh, absolutely. I'd be on it no matter what. The goal is to be taking it as soon as the diagnosis is made to decrease the likelihood that you go on to wet.
Right. Okay. That's great. So I hope, Patty, you're listening. Thank you for calling, and thank you so much, Dr. Gilbert. But I see Dan has a question for
you. I have my hand up, Michael, because I was going to actually, believe it or not, I was going to text you today because,
let's see,
last week, maybe it's been about 5 days ago, I got up early in the morning. It was dark, getting ready to go to work, and I noticed some flashing lights in the far left peripheral field of my left eye, just on the very left of my visual field.
Yeah.
So, what's going on?
Normal part of growing up, Dan.
Oh, normal. Are you telling me I'm getting
part
old?
Of growing up. However, no, sir, I didn't say. We don't use the O word in my practice. I look in the mirror often enough that I'm pretty cautious about that. So, the gel in the back of the eye, as we age, that gel starts out very viscous and adherent to the retina. With age, it liquefies and gradually pulls free. And at the moment that it pulls free, there aren't any pain fibers in the retina. You can have a total retinal tear or detachment. It can peel completely off, totally painless. But all of them, all of those nerve fibers speak to the brain about light. So when there's a physical stimulation, that moment of separation of the vitreous gel will tug on the retina, and it sends that message back to the brain, I just saw a ton of light. The reason it's in the periphery is the densest attachments of that gel are in a band around the far periphery of the retina. It's also spot welded in several places, but those flashes, and the which is the, also the origin of floaters, but those flashes that happen and retinal detachments and tears are generally in that far periphery, right where that dense attachment of that gel is. Now, if you had one little spark, the likelihood that that's anything serious, especially without coincident floaters, is pretty small. But anytime you have new flashes, new floaters, it's best to get it checked out.
Okay. Well, I've had it probably two or three times since then, so probably got to give your office a call and come on in.
Sometime we should take a look and just make sure that everything is just so normal. The my expectation is highest likelihood is just normal maturing of that gel as it pulls free from the retina. Sometimes it does it quite silently. Sometimes it'll do it with sparks of light. Sometimes those sparks of light come with new floaters. And all of that can be benign, but sometimes it can mean that there's a little tear and that has to be tacked down and protected.
Well, that sounds great. It's been at least a year since I've been in to see you, so I think I'll be making that call.
Gosh, it seems like yesterday. I can't believe it. And actually, I think about you often. I got to talk to you about my shoulders, so we should just sit down and chat.
Okay. Well, there you go. We'll do some bartering here.
Hey,
all right.
Dr. Gilbert, what's your website again?
NWVision.com.
Northwest Vision.
NWVision.com.
425-0-2020. Again, thank you for getting in touch, Dr. Gilbert.
Thank you, Michael.
Thanks, Mike. Good to talk to you folks.
Yeah, we'll take a break here, and when we come back, we've got calls from Robert, John, and Suzanne, and maybe time for your call, too. 206-421-5757. 206-421-5757. Back with more of Leading Edge Medicine and your questions for Dr. Dan Nelson and Dr. Samira Umat in just a few moments.
Living on love, buying on time. just like an old.
And welcome back to more Leading Edge Medicine, brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinics. Dr. UMAT and Dr. Dan Nelson in today, taking your calls at 206-421-5757. We have a number of people on the line. Robert's been hanging on for about a half an hour. Robert, you have a question for the doctors about stress.
Yes, I do. I've had a long-term stress and anxiety problem. My whole family is a nervous wreck. And I was just wondering, if I go to my primary care doctor, what two tests could I ask him that would give me some sense of where I'm at, any damage down there in the future? And number two, I've not been diagnosed with sarcopenia, but I do feel like I've had muscle wasting and muscle loss weakness. Will the hormonal therapies be able to actually reverse that, or diet and exercise be actually able to reverse that?
Wow, good questions, Robert. With regards to stress and anxiety, I'm not really sure if there is one test to do. I think it's, you know, after they've gotten to know you for a while, they may do, I don't know, EEGs, neuropsychologists do stuff that after, if patients haven't responded to therapy over a course of time. From my point of view, I look for markers for stress. I look for sleep. I look at what's happening to their IGF-1 levels over time. I look at their diet and lifestyle. We do the in-body. We have a new test we've just started offering at the clinic. It is called My DNA Age. And what we're looking for in that is biological age versus chronological age. And we look for markers that might be impacting on the patient's aging. And if their biological age is faster and higher than their chronological age, then there are a few things that we look at: stress, anxiety, sleep, sugar levels, and diabetes risks, which we try to modify for them. So, you know, we would try to work on how to improve their sleep quality and to modify the other risk factors. So that is one thing that we do, which is very new to us. I don't have any specific other things to recommend to you, something that, you know, maybe a neuropsychologist may have better insight into.
Right. So testing a cortisol or something like that is useless.
You know, the cortisol test, we do a saliva cortisol level. There is a blood cortisol level, but endocrinologists have to be, they have very specific criteria when they do that. They really don't do that very commonly.
We used to do 24-hour cortisol.
I know.
I haven't heard that in years.
I know. And from what I've heard, endocrinologists don't do that a whole lot. They will do a first morning cortisol level sometimes, but they have to be very specific criteria for that. Now, there is something that we recognize that I know traditional MDs sometimes frown upon, which is adrenal fatigue. And so there is a salivary cortisol level that we do check. That is a 4 tests to be done in one day. We give you a kit, you take it home, you spit in 4 different tubes at 4 different times in the day, and the lab will give us your cortisol level at those 4 different times. And then we look to see whether you fall into a normal bandwidth or not, whether you're higher than that or lower than that. What they've written about in this, I forget the name of the physician who first made it very popular. I used to have his book in the office. I've actually heard his talks many times. But what they talked about was that if you have chronic stress in your life, you are asking for more cortisol production over a period of time, which then your body can respond to by increasing cortisol over time. But eventually that leads to adrenal fatigue, which means that your body cannot respond and cortisol production slows down and stops and decreases. And so in the spectrum, we have to do many tests to find out whether you're at adrenal stress or whether you're down to adrenal fatigue, and then bring you back into the normal range. And so for that, we do use adrenal modulators. Supplement companies do make them. We carry only one in our office, but there are many adrenal modulators that you can use over the counter. One of them that I'm fond of is ashwagandha. Ashwagandha is a nice adrenal modulator. If you're high, it'll bring you down. If you're down, it'll bring you up. But then if we're treating adrenal fatigue, we have to use specific adrenal modulators. And if we're treating adrenal stress, we have to use something very specific. Okay? So, yes, they can do it. Will they do it? I don't know. I've never found a blood level to be so abnormal that it warranted something different. But I do see the salivary cortisol levels reasonably frequently, and we do modify and make changes based on that, which does affect a patient's life. Okay, so that's the answer about blood testing. Now, what was your other question?
Well, I feel like I have muscle weakness, wasting maybe. I have not been diagnosed with sarcopenia, but I'm wondering if the hormonal replacement is as good as or better than, will help, as diet and exercise for reversing it. Can sarcopenia, if I was to have that, actually be reversed?
Yeah, and a very good question. And again, if you actually have sarcopenia, which is loss of muscle mass, and it is now below normal, then diet and exercise will help. But the hormones that help build muscle will make it easier for you to succeed. I have not seen anybody reverse this that is older without hormone supplementation. Younger person, maybe yes. But as we get older, we just do not have the hormone that helps build muscle. Sometimes people will take protein supplements. Sometimes they'll take creatine and some other things. I'm cautious with that in my older population because of renal compromise and other reasons. And so I watch them very carefully. Sometimes, yes, without testosterone, we are successful. But if you're younger, you're more likely to succeed than you are as you get older.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Thanks. Hope that helps. Thanks, Robert. Yeah. Hope that helps. Let's go next to John in Seattle. John has a question about calcification of the groin. Hi, John. What's your specific question?
Hi, John.
Hi. Hello. Thank you. A good friend of mine recently had a hip repair done, and the night after the surgery, in the hospital, he got up to go to the bathroom and he pulled the groin muscle. It kept him in the hospital for a matter of weeks, and he continues to pull it, and he went back to the doctor, and they told him that he had calcification of the groin tendon. I'm wondering if there is any relief possible for him. He still suffers. It's been maybe 4 months since the surgery, and he's limping and having a hard time with his life.
Yeah. So is he getting any kind of recommendations for treatment for that right now?
No.
Okay. So I'm wondering if it's like a myositis ossificans, something. You can get that in the muscle or in the tendon, I believe. So
first thing, Dan, I'm thinking, did he have anything before surgery, or was this – what has the surgery got to do with this?
No. The surgery?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
The hip replacement.
Yes. Well, I'm going to take a stab that he's 50 years old.
Okay.
Maybe. And he's a hardworking contractor.
Okay.
Doing decks and things of that nature. But his hip was beginning to give him a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. And so we finally went in and had the surgery to repair his hip. The night following that surgery, while in the hospital, on the way to the bathroom, he pulled the groin muscle. That was the first sign of a problem other than the hip.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. So you feel that maybe he was developing some calcific tendonitis. He certainly seemed to have pain. Pain could be degenerative joint disease, arthritis, or anything. And then if it is calcific tendonitis, you know, is it something like pseudogout or something like that, right?
Right.
And that'll cause pain. It'll restrict range of motion. It's like akin to the rotator cuff tendonitis of the shoulder.
Right.
If you think about the shoulder and the calcific tendonitis, and then you think of the groin, that's probably something similar to what he's experiencing.
Right. Probably one of the adductor muscles, I would imagine, of the hip that insert into the pubic symphysis area, most likely. Just trying to figure out what's going on there. But calcification, that's something that should be looked into.
Hey, hang on a second. The music tells me we have to go to a break. Hang on. Don't go anywhere. We'll come back from a break, from our break, and we'll talk more, okay?
Okay, hang in there, John. We'll be back in just a few moments. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine, brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinics. Dr. Daniel Nelson in today, as well as Dr. Samira Umat. We'll return in just a few moments with, we still have Suzanne in Bellevue, and hopefully get to Ray in Woodinville as well when we come back with more of the show. Hang in there. Welcome back to Leading Edge Medicine with Longevity Medical Clinics. We've got Dr. Dan Nelson and Dr. Umat in. Got a few more calls to finish up here before the end of the show today. Still a little bit of advice for John in Seattle. And
yeah, Dan, you were suggesting
Back to the calcification of the groin, presumably muscle or tendon. The only way to really make that diagnosis is if he had had an MRI. So do we know that? John?
I do not know.
Yeah. So somebody could have made that,
trying to get him into your office. I hope he's listening. I'm sure he's trying to work today. But if you can offer that there is some possible relief for the pain.
Oh, absolutely.
That's all.
No, but first order of business probably would be getting a pelvic MRI that would show us exactly what's going on. If somebody just said it's a calcified tendon, without doing any imaging.
The doctor that did his surgery.
What's that?
The doctor that did his hip surgery told him that.
Right, but he couldn't. I don't think he could tell him that with any authority unless he ordered an MRI and found that to be the case.
Okay.
If he's just saying that, kind of like a bedside diagnosis, that's not really worth much, at least not to me. But he needs to come and see us, and I'm pretty sure we could help him out.
Thank you. That's all I needed to hear. Thank you.
Okay,
very much.
John, you can find out more about the clinic with Dan Nelson, DanielNelsonMD.com. You can also find out more by calling at 425-823-4000. Okay, let's move on to Suzanne in Bellevue. She has a question about lower back pain. Suzanne, are you still with us with that question?
Yeah, by calling at 425-823-4000.
Oh, she got the radio on.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Suzanne, you need to turn your radio down.
Question about lower back pain. Suzanne,
are
you still with us with that question?
Suzanne, you there? Okay. Okay, Suzanne, maybe we'll come back to you here. Let's move on to Ray in Woodinville. He has a question about something called a knee ablation. Ray, what's your question?
Hey, good morning. I got this brochure. It's by Stryker. Talks about exploring alternatives with knee pain, and so I'm going to be getting this thing called genicular RFA procedure.
Right, genicular nerve radiofrequency ablation. Is that what it is?
So my question is, it shows a little picture where they go in and they zap three nerves. It looks like on the
correct
knee. And I'm wondering, so I have a real problem with my knee. I tried some hyaluronic acid in it,
Mm-hmm.
That didn't work. So we're going to try this. And I'm wondering, so I guess I have bone on bone. Can't afford the PRP at this point or the stem cell.
Mm-hmm.
So if they kill the nerves, isn't my joint still going to be hitting each other and cause it to swell?
You make a good point. So the genicular nerves are part of the nerves that provide sensation to the knee joint. It turns out we can do an ablation procedure, and we do these for people who have very severe unrelenting knee pain for whatever reason. We often do in patients, a lot of times it's people who've had knee replacements and still have pain. So we'll offer this to people. We go in with radio frequency probe and we can lesion these genicular nerves, which means we use radio frequency energy with a special probe type needle. And the radio frequency energy heats up the water molecules around the nerve, kind of like a microwave, and actually burns the nerve. And it turns out people still do fine. It's not like you don't sense anything out of that knee, but it's really, in my, I tell most patients that it can help to take your knee pain from being miserable to manageable. In most cases, it won't make you pain-free, but it can make a huge difference. One drawback to a genicular RFA is that it probably won't last forever, and it probably have to be repeated at some point, because those little those small diameter sensory nerves will tend to grow back together over time. So it's not a perfect procedure. The success rate's probably about 65-70%. It's not 100%. I wish we do a lot of radiofrequency ablations for low back pain, for like facet joint pain. Success rate's pretty good for neck and low back pain, but for knee pain, it's 65-70%. It's definitely not 100%, but it is one valuable tool in our toolbox.
It talks about these possible risks, and it talks about complex regional pain syndrome. What on earth is that?
Yeah, CRPS, complex regional pain syndrome, is something that we don't really understand it. The old term was RSD. I'm sure Dr. Umat knows about RSD, now called CRPS. There's something going on with the nervous system typically in an extremity like a leg or an arm. It probably has to do with the sympathetic nervous system getting out of whack. It's and we see patients that come in with that condition. So RFA, so CRPS is a potential complication of genicular RFA. I've never seen that personally. Potentially, it could happen. I mean, you could get CRPS from stubbing your toe, literally. So it's not. We see it from CRPS from fractures where they develop a very. But I think that's a pretty unlikely scenario.
Okay. So how with stem cells? What is the success rate with people who have bone on bone? Like I have on my left knee. Doing that. I mean, it's a pretty expensive procedure. There's this show on, I listen to another, I know it's on this station here. There's this doctor who's always on in the mornings, about every hour, every half an hour. Mark, I don't know, he's over in Seattle, and he's always talking about stem cell this and stem cell that. So, but, you know, I've heard that it's not always, you know, 100%. If you get a stem cell in there that would bring back your cartilage or whatever it is that makes the bone on bone experience that I'm experiencing.
It's definitely not a slam dunk. I mean, and that's what I'll look at an X-ray myself. Some people, they've been told they're bone on bone. I look at their X-rays, and there's definitely not bone on bone in some situations. I mean, they've lost some joint space, and there may be some areas that the cartilage is, there's been degraded or degenerated. But there has been other cases where people come to me, and I look at their X-ray, and I say, you know, stem cells probably not a great idea. Just the extent of the arthritis, the degenerative changes are so extreme that I tell patients, look, I really think stem cells probably not an option. But in most cases, it is. It's still an option. I wish it was covered by medical insurance. I think one day, I think it will be. We're not there yet.
You know, it's interesting to me, when I go to conferences, the PRP lectures are taught by orthopedic surgeons. And so, obviously, they're performing it. They believe in it. And I find it so hard that insurance still denies the claims.
Right. Well, we could spend a whole hour on this subject by itself. So, and we can't do that. But this is kind of what we deal with.
How effective is the PRP?
Well, PRP for things like tendonitis and ligamentous injuries, very, very effective. We talked earlier about tennis elbow, which is a very common condition, or golfer's elbow. Achilles tendon issues. I mean, PRP by itself is pretty effective. So platelet-rich plasma comes from the blood, not a stem cell procedure per se. But and PRP for large joints, however, not quite. Still can be effective for arthritis. When stem cell became available kind of at a clinic level like ours, approximately 10 years ago, it was clear that stem cell was superior for that situation over PRP.
Last question for Dr. Umat. Is there anything that a supplement can help me prevent the loss of cartilage in my joints at, you know, almost 70?
That's a toughie. We just talk about building muscle, maintaining muscle mass, and trying to keep inflammation down. I'm fond of curcumin and fish oils and our relief factor to help keep inflammation down.
What do you think of NAD?
It depends upon how we can, whether it'll penetrate or not.
Okay.
So we are actually looking at that right now, but in the past when we've looked at a supplement, we couldn't get it through the skin.
Right. Okay.
So.
Okay, Ray, that's going to do it for us today. Thanks for the call. And again, call in for your free health analysis appointment at 866-86-YOUNG. Find out more at lmclinic.com. You can find clinics in Kirkland, Tacoma, and Linwood. And that'll do it for this week's edition of Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Dan Nelson and Dr. Samira Umat. You're excited about the Huskies. You had a great...
Yeah.
We wanted to talk more about that, but you got so many calls.
Time, yes.
Another time. So
go Dogs.
Go Dogs today.
Yeah.
And find out more about Daniel Nelson at danielnelsonmd.com. Thanks. We'll see you next week.